May 24th, study on General Pacific. First, thank Brother Larry for laying the groundwork for this study. He's done a good job and kind of makes taking over real easy and things that he brought out in his studies on that. Mine mainly these next 6 weeks is just going to deal with music. So again, try to lay a little bit of groundwork and keep in mind that those things that were given to the children of Israel, we need to keep those things foremost in our mind when you determine context and such of the Bible and who he's talking to, who the commands are for, what dispensation, whether the patriarchal, the mosaical, or us today, to try to determine that thing. That's how we determine truth. We don't take and pull scriptures out of context and make them apply something we be taught and believe and then try to make the scriptures fit that thought. That's not how it's done. We look at what the scriptures teach and then form our belief from truth. We don't get the cart, if you will, before the horse. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old path, for the good way is, and walk therein." When you look at how truth was determined by Israel, the same way that they determined what truth was by God's command, examples of those things inferred, that's the very way that we determine truth today. And again, as Larry pointed out, these seem like simple lessons, elementary. But sometimes we forget the elementary, the old paths of how truth was determined. And when you look especially in the division in the Church of Christ today, the supporting of orphans' homes, the radio, TV programs, the fellowship halls, whatever, then you understand that they've forgotten the old paths. They forgot those elementary teachings of how authority, if you will, is established. And so that's what we want to look at. When you talk about music, what's right, what's wrong, is what we want to look at. To form of that music acceptable, to look at that from what you grew up with, does not make it right, we don't make it wrong. And again, it's something that each individual needs to draw their own conclusions, their convictions to, okay? And a simple study of that. We'll not be able to get through a lot of it because it's such a, again, so much written concerning that. But we need to remember that God has all authority. Again, these elementary things that we look at. That means he simply has the right to rule. That the right to judge on the basis of having potential to evaluate. God alone has the potential to evaluate of what's right or what is wrong. When you look at Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we will look this morning on the silence of the Scriptures. Someone read Hebrews 4 and verse 13, that God alone has the potential to evaluate. Man does not have that potential. We have the potential to evaluate some things based on what we know. But again, we do not have the potential to evaluate everything. Hebrews 4 and verse 13.
"And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account."
Showing God's power, that God has alone the potential to evaluate. He knows all things about it. There's nothing hidden to him. Things are hidden from us. We may not know God's secret things. But God knows our secret things. And so he has the potential to evaluate. So with that, because he has the potential to evaluate, his word is the standard for us. Because that's what is written in his word, his potential, authority, the right to evaluate such. He puts in his word those things that are good for us, of what he wants us to do. From that. So when you look at the Bible as a foundation for God's authority, it's our final authority, simply that which is revealed. 2 Timothy 3, a scripture that we often quote. Again, a simple scripture. Verse 16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness. And the reason for that is that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped to do every good work that glorifies God. Those things that He has given for us to do. And so the question of the music today that we are to do, what's the good work that the Scriptures reveal? Again, it's not our thought, what we may think, it may be, but it's simply what God has revealed for us to do. Our authority is not on what others say. And so many times we base a belief upon parents or a spouse or a preacher that we may enjoy throughout time. But again, it's not on what others say. It's not through commentaries, even though commentaries at times are good. But again, it is simply man's thought. And that's what we need to try to get away from, is what my thought is, what Donnie's thought is. What is your thought, what is your conviction on music? Which is God pleased with? It's not through papers or sermons. Simply, we must trust in God's Word because He has the potential to evaluate. Concerning this, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, it talks about that we ought to be diligent to present ourselves a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, this idea of rightly dividing, as we pointed out, it's used of a plumb line. Anybody knows anything about a plumb line in erecting a building? But a plumb line is used for what? Make sure things are straight, okay? That it's level and all, that it fits perfectly and there's no bending of any sort. So it's a plumb line. This here is a plumb line. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, concerning this word that we have. Moses there says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you." In this word that we have, that we are to divide straightly, we are not to add to. I'm not to put my thought in it. I'm simply to take a scripture as it is written and determine the truth from it. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, someone read. Right, the idea that you ought to add to His Word, because He says that He'll reprove you and you'll be found as what? As a liar, okay? Revelations 22 and verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." So we are not these warnings that what I have revealed, don't you add to, don't you take from, don't give your thought on what you think it means. We'll determine what truth is. And so in 21 verse 8, it talks about there the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars. You're a liar if you add to God's Word. If you try to determine that music or vocal, whatever is acceptable, based on what your thoughts are, and you add to it in any way, then He says you're going to be found, if you will, a liar. We understand we're familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 29. But so many times, and I hear it even from members of the Church of Christ, that we fall short. And we try to put in there what we think God may have wanted. When He says the secret things belong to God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Again, you have this, that which is revealed, that phrase, versus that which is not revealed. And come up with the phrase, well, God didn't say not to. Then you have entered that region of what has not been revealed. Again, John 12, verse 48 tells us what. We're going to be judged with those things which are revealed. Why worry about something that God has not said, and spend excess of time, our thought and study, and waste of time trying to determine what God has not said on this versus what He says? Ephesians 3 and verse 5. someone read. Read Ephesians 3, 4, and 5.
By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets.
Paul here simply says there's something that was revealed to the holy apostles. It's that which was not revealed prior concerning the covenant that we are under today. Even though the old law pointed towards this new covenant, he says those things are now revealed. He says in verse 3 that you can what? You can understand what's revealed. It's no miraculous understanding. But it's something that on my part reveals time, effort, and study of rightly dividing of what God commands, what He approves of, and what's necessarily implied. And when I do those things, then I resort to the old paths of determining what is right and what's wrong, what music God accepts, what God does not accept, as Larry pointed out, in the Lord's Supper. You put any of those things in there that we do today. God has revealed what He wants. But again, we waste so much time and energy trying to determine because I want to do something in life that God has not said not to. And again, I hear this from members of the church. Because there's something carnally in them that they want to do that they try to get the Scriptures to prove. Therefore, they add or they take away from that. And God will find them a liar in the day of judgment. The silence authorized. Do we have permission or authority to act when God has said nothing? Basically, is the question we need to look at this morning. Again, many have the attitude, if God has not specifically condemned something, then we have authority. And again, when you look at issues like instrumental music and work, just take, you don't know. We don't know. We determine from what God has said. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Okay? I have my convictions. Larry has his convictions. Donnie has his convictions. But what are your convictions? And because you don't know, does that authorize you to do it? Again, it's something that we need to be firmly established in our convictions, what is right and what is wrong. And again, you need to keep in mind that we need to be consistent with our reasoning. Application that we need to make all Scriptures fit in our reasoning to establish truth, that there's not one Scripture violated in any way of when we come. Just like baptism. What must I do to be saved? If you say you're saved by faith alone, does this violate any other Scripture? Or when you deal with the Lord's Supper, as Larry touched upon, is everything consistent in establishing what we're to do, when we're to do it, what we're to use, and such. And so we understand that. So we must be consistent in our reasoning. Again, you have in this silence of the Scripture two basic approaches. We can do anything that's not specifically forbidden. God didn't say nothing about it. We can do it. Okay? Or the second one, we cannot do anything that